Good morning, brothers and sisters. Happy Easter. What a wonderful day. And we got a bonus hour's sleep. I didn't realise that was coming until when I woke up. I thought, why am I awake at 4:30 this morning? It was ridiculous. You will need to open your Bible, and you'll notice that sermon notes today, that it says sermon notes and then there's nothing. That means that the sermon notes are for you to take. The fact that I have not put an outline there does not, just before you get too hopeful, mean that I have nothing to say. Let's pray and ask for God's help. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your wonderful word. Thank you for this glorious passage written by the Apostle Peter. We thank you that you sustain our hope through life. And Father, that you bring us into an eternal life. Teach us now, we pray, for Jesus' sake, that we might glorify him through our hope and through steadfast faith. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So we'll be looking at the passage just read for us, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 to 12. And we're going to think about what the Apostle Peter has to say to us today about real hope. Real hope. Hope sustains life. We are forward-looking beings. If you have nothing to look forward to, then you kind of have nothing to live for. The two things go together. The problem is that hope in this world is in very limited supply. What do people hope for? What do you hope for? There are all sorts of different styles of hope, isn't there? There are trivial hopes. I hope this recipe works out. I hope I can find a car park. There are relational hopes, hope for a good marriage or successful children or friends. There's aspirational hopes, career appointments, playing cricket for Australia, to make a difference for children with cancer. Then there are the crass materialistic hopes. I hope that I'm going to get such and such a car. And there's experiential hopes. I hope that I'm going to travel the world. I'm hoping to live in safety and so forth. I want you to take a moment. What do you hope in? What springs to mind when I ask you, what are you hoping for? Now, children are naturally full of hope. But as we grow older, we keep coming up against obstacles, against reality, against especially all of our weaknesses and our failures. And we walk into any nursing home and you look into the eyes of some people there who have lost hope. And it's pretty awful. And today I want to say, Christian, you have a better hope. You have a living, transforming hope. An eternal hope. So today, first of all, we're going to think about what is real hope. And the answer is, real hope is resurrection hope. And real hope is a certain hope. And then we're going to think about how we experience that hope in this life. So what is real hope? Well, it's a resurrection hope. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So the Apostle Peter describes this hope as a living hope. It is inspired by, it is empowered by an eternal, irreducible, incorruptible, eternal life. Why? Because this hope is grounded in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. All of Christian faith turns on this. Today is the most important day in the Christian calendar. The empty tomb. Jesus was dead and buried, and yet he returned alive. Do you believe this? This is the essence of faith, the essence of what it means to be a Christian. He rose, he ate fish with his disciples, he was speaking with them. Yes, a spiritual body that could appear and could disappear, and yet flesh and blood still. Now risen to heaven, coming again to judge. If you take just one thing home from church today, let it be this. Have I reckoned with the reality of Jesus' resurrection? Have I reckoned with the reality of Jesus' resurrection? If Jesus rose from the dead, then every human being will be raised. Some to everlasting life, and some to eternal darkness. Those who do belong to him will rise to be with him. Jesus is the down payment. He is the evidence of it. If Jesus' body was transformed in resurrection from a corpse, from dead flesh into a supernatural body, a spiritual body, then you also will be transformed. If Jesus returned to life after his heart was stopped and his blood ceased to flow in his veins for two entire days, then you also will return to life as he did, irrespective of how long it is before he returns and how long you are in the grave, if indeed you hold to the faith to the end. Resurrection hope is the only real hope, because any other hope will be left behind in your grave. But this hope will live forever. It is a living hope. And then secondly, real hope is a certain hope. It's a resurrection hope, and it's a certain hope. It's not like, well, I hope it won't rain, or I hope I can find a friend. It's already mine. This is what I look forward to, because I know what is to come. It doesn't matter if we have another global financial crisis or another round of COVID or a nuclear war, or if I get sick or have an accident or die. How can that be? Well, the Apostle Peter says it's like looking forward to an inheritance, and that inheritance is already there, stored up and kept safe for us, because it's kept safe in heaven. Verse 4, we have an inheritance, one that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you. Now, everybody likes the idea of an inheritance. Presumably, we're going to be very sad when someone dies, but just putting that one aside for a moment, an injection of funds into my bank account is usually welcome. Of course, that should remind me that one day I also will die, and it'll all get passed on to someone else, as long as I haven't squandered it. But the Christian's inheritance comes to her when she dies. It's the opposite. It's not when someone else dies, it's when you die. That's when you receive the Christian inheritance. At the very point where I lose everything in this world, I inherit everything that life has to offer. This inheritance is described as imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, and it never has to be passed on. It is forever, and it is yours forever. It is kept in heaven for you, stored up for you. I hope you've claimed it. It's a certain hope. It's like my father is a billionaire, and I know that I'm in his will, except it's better. If you'll excuse the pun, it's a dead certainty. The inheritance is there, it's stored up, safe in heaven for you. Now, I want us to think about how we experience the hope, the real hope. We understand what it is. It's a resurrection hope, it's a certain hope, but how do we experience that? How does it work in real life? How do we find it? How will it change my life? And especially, what about the difficult times? We're going to think about those three things now. How do I find this hope? When the world is corrupt, when lives end in despair, when the only certainties in this life are death and taxes, who has hope like this? And anyway, how am I supposed to hope in something that is future and invisible? I can't see it. It's not like I'm going to inherit that house that I can see. I can't see this inheritance because it's locked up in heaven for me. Correct. Verse 5, we are kept for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. It has not yet been revealed. And for that very reason, this hope requires that you believe God's promise. Verse 5, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith. Now, as soon as I use that word faith, well, we misunderstand this idea of faith. We think that faith is something religious, something that some people have and some people just don't have. But the word simply means to believe. It means to have faith means simply to put your trust in somebody. That's faith. It's common garden variety trust. You put your trust in the airline pilot to fly you safely to your destination. If you don't trust him, you wouldn't get on the aeroplane. You put your faith in perhaps a trainer to help you get fit. So faith is not a religious thing. It's a common garden variety part, essential part of living. If your doctor tells you that you need to have a kidney out, you either trust him, you have faith in him, or you get a second opinion, or you turn your back and run away. When God makes a promise, you can trust him or turn your back on him. So the question then becomes, do you trust God to keep his word? That is to honor God. To distrust him, that is to dishonor him. You cannot find resurrection hope unless you first trust God and believe his promise. Now, we should not think this strange. Promise and hope kind of go together. They're two sides of the same coin. They are the same thing experienced from two different sides by two different people. One person makes a promise, the other person receives the promise and believes the promise, and the result is hope. If you promise your daughter a great big Easter egg, she believes you, she has faith in you that you will keep your promise, and the result is hope. She looks forward to the Easter egg. You cannot access the hope that God is offering if you do not believe his promise. You have to trust God's promise, or else no Easter egg for you. Verse 5 again. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith. And then we move on to the next question about how we experience hope. We experience it through faith. And what the hope brings in our life is joy. So verse 6 is very simple. In this you rejoice. In this you rejoice. Joy belongs to the believer. It is the quintessential Christian experience, joy. Never mind ecstatic experiences or visions or dreams or speaking in tongues. The real Christian experience is joy. Hope is the wellspring of faith and love, and hope brings joy. We have to be careful, though, that we do not confuse joy with happiness. They are not the same thing. The apostle does not promise that you're going to be happy. Happiness has to do with our circumstances. It has to do also with our disposition. But joy goes deeper. Joy comes from knowing God and knowing that God knows me and loves me as I am, forgives me, and embraces me. It's not mere happiness. So it could be, for example, that you're depressed. Some of us are. Christian hope does not mean that a believer cannot get depressed any more than it means a believer should never have a heart attack. That is not what Peter means. He's quite explicit. Verse 6, in this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. And mostly we are. The grief and the trial is still there. So we grieve, but not as those without hope. We are depressed, but one day that fight will be over, and in the resurrection there will be no pharmacies. We are tempted and we fail, but we hold on to our faith in forgiveness through the precious blood of Jesus. God knows me, God loves me, God holds on to me, God embraces me, and that is my joy. But then Peter actually takes it one step further. So the result of hope is joy. But Peter goes on to ask, well, what about the trials? What about the real difficulties that we experience? So we turn to that question. It's the sickness, it's the aging, the loss of our job, or the persecution that goes perhaps with our faith. If you have put your trust in Jesus, then the trials themselves, the difficult things of life, actually take on a very different meaning. One that we often lose or never come to. You see, it's in verse 7. These have come, that is the trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Griefs and trials test our faith. The purpose of the testing is not to break our faith, but to strengthen our faith. Then, when our faith is proved genuine, it sustains our hope, and more than that, it brings praise and honor to Jesus, because it's a testimony to who he is. Any athlete knows that he or she has to be tested. It's one thing to say, I can run a marathon. It's quite another to run through the pain barrier. Mind you, don't ask me, I've never run one. But people who have, tell me about it. You're not a marathon runner until you've done that. So we have to hold on to our faith through the pain barrier. Faith when it hurts. Faith when you fail. And we do. Faith in sickness. Faith when you lose your job. Faith that owns the name of Jesus no matter what is said to you. Faith at the end. Faith that perseveres. Hope grows through the trials when you trust God to keep his word. We trust God, we put our hope in him when life is difficult. When the darkness falls and sight grows dim, when passions die and the body gets frail, and slowly, slowly, one by one, God removes all the things that we might otherwise put our hope in. And he does this so that our hope in Jesus becomes more and more precious. Jesus hung on a cross for you. Now you hang on to the cross no matter what. Jesus rose from the dead for you. Now you name him your risen Lord every day. No matter your sin, no matter your grief or your depression or your sickness or what they might call you or what they might do to you, when our faith is genuine, the trials of life will not reduce our hope. They will strengthen it. Verse 8, though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So let me ask you, what are you hoping for? This Easter Sunday, what is the hope that drives you? Is it the trivial, the material, perhaps even the aspirational? Or have you actually found something that is far more profound? Have you found the one hope that can sustain you even through death? Have you found the certain, the living hope kept in heaven for you, imperishable, undefiled, the wellspring of joy, the hope that you can cling to no matter what, when every other hope finally fails, and they will. then you have found joy and meaning in the trials, and finally life with Jesus, the salvation of your soul. Father in heaven, we thank you for hope, the eternal hope that you have given to us in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. We thank you for the certainty of the inheritance which is kept in heaven for us who through faith are being strengthened and filled with joy. We thank you, Father, even for the trials. For those trials strengthen our faith and make our hope more certain. And we thank you that it is an eternal hope, even the salvation of our souls. Father, we pray for our city, for those who do not know this hope. Please have mercy that our city might be saved through the hope of the risen Christ, and that they might hear the message of the gospel. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.